But anyway, I know you have your Bibles, and I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to go to the book of Romans tonight. And before we get started, everybody likes something new, don't we? Everybody likes new cars. We have a new house, new friends. Everybody likes something new, don't they? And tonight I'm going to share with you about five or six things the Lord wants us to have new in our life. And one thing we want to share with you tonight that's so important in our life is that He wants us to know without a shadow of doubt that we're saved and born again into the family of God. And turn to Romans chapter 10. Now, you look at the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a doctrine book. It gives you doctrine about sin, about justification, sanctification. It deals identification with Christ. It deals with all of these things that we need to have in our own personal life. But there's some things that we want to look at here that he wants to have new in our own life. And one thing, we look at Romans chapter 10. Here Paul had concern for Israel, their salvation. And we all should be concerned about people. Our family, I got family members that needs the Lord. I know you do too, and friends and neighbors. And you've been praying for them. And this is what he says he wants us to have here. And it's very important in all of our lives. And start with verse 9. Let's read verse 9, and we're going to go down to verse 13. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in his righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scriptures, look at what the Scripture says now. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ whatsoever. We know he loves us. We know he died for us. We accepted him. We should never be ashamed of that. And it says, for there is no difference between the Jews and the Greeks. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And here verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And that's what it's all about. And first we got to realize in our heart that our heart is needing to be saved. You know, it says in the Old Testament that our hearts are very wicked. You know, we have a wicked heart and very deceitful heart. And the Lord knows that, and he knows we need a new heart. And that's what he's talking about here, a new heart that we need to have in our life. And not only about believing that Jesus will save you, but you got to confess your mouth that you're a sinner, and you got to invite him to come into your life and save you. That's what it's all saying here. And a lot of people, they know that they're sinners, but they never know, no one has ever told them how to be saved. And we got to know how to be saved. We got to know, you got to get lost before you get saved, don't you? And we all have to get that way. You got to get lost. And then you got to realize you need a Savior. You got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, invite him to forgive you and repent of your sin, and ask him to come and be your Savior. So that's the first step and most important step, that we have a new heart. It's very important that we have a new heart. And one thing about the Lord, when we ask him to save us, he does the changing, doesn't he? He does all the changing. We can't better ourselves. It's the Lord that changes. And I've seen at a church I pastored, Calvary Baptist Church, we had a bus ministry there. And we brought in probably about 700 kids every Sunday morning. I mean, that bus, I guess we would have got arrested today because we had bus kids standing in the middle of the aisles and everything. And they come in there and they get hear the gospel for the first time. Some of these guys, kids are gang members, you know. And they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved. And the Lord just changed one of our students. He is a fire marshal in Montgomery now, and he still loves the Lord, and he's still living for him. We have one that works in a prison ministry out in Texas, and it's just so how the Lord changes people's life. They give them a different direction, but we do need a new heart. I know that for sure. And I'd like for us to go to something else that's very important. Then we need a new heart. But we need a new man. We all need to be new. Look at Ephesians, please, chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 24, okay? We have a new heart. We're going to be a new man or a new woman. It says that you may put on the new man, which after God is created. He did it, didn't he? He does the work in what? True righteousness and true holiness. In righteousness and true holiness. And that is so important in our Christian life that he's done the work. And what has he done? And we're going to see about four or five things that he's going to do in our life. And the first thing he's going to tell us in verse 25 is, wherefore put away lying, always lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. One thing that will get out of your life, lying, telling lies or deceiving people. And that's the first thing he wants you to put out of your life once you come to know Jesus Christ. And here's one. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's easy to get anger, isn't it? And sometimes husband and wife get in an argument. They go to bed and mad at each other. But I wrote down a thing. I heard this a long time ago. Let me give it to you. I wrote that down in my Bible. I still have it. When you lose your temper. And the guy that gave this to me, Andy Telford, wrote this down. He's a great Bible teacher, but he says, when we lose our temper, it forms a base where Satan to operate from. And how true that is. We give him a place to work in our life, you know. And the second thing, he falsifies your Christian testimony. Third, you fracture your fellowship with God. Fourth, you forfeit your respect of others when you lose your temper. And then you foretell an inward need when you lose your temper. And here's the last thing I'd like you to remember. If you're right, you don't need to. If you're wrong, you can't afford to. And how true that is in our life, you know. But it's easy to lose our temper. The old nature comes up, and man, we just let the old devil takes place. And that we don't have to give the place to the devil. And then he says, let him that stole steal no more. We should be honest. But rather let him labor, work with his hands and the things which are good, that he may give to him that need. And then here's the other one. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What comes out of the mouth reveals what's in the heart. Always remember that. It just shows you. And I've been around people using God's name in vain. I've been in Baptist hospital and people just on the elevator just cussing up a storm, just taking God's name in vain. And people don't think nothing of it today. And all these slang words that these kids are getting from the school, holy cow and all that, it's just like blaspheming. They don't even know about it. And we know God is not a cow, that's for sure. He's holy. So these are some things that he wants us to remember, that we put on the new man, and that God creates it all for us. And he works in that area, in all these areas in our life. He's working on me all the time. I know he's working on you as well. And here's another one I want to give to you. Go to Philippians chapter 2, and we see that we're going to have a new heart, a new man, but he wants us to have a new mind. You know what the whole battle is with all of us? The mind. Man, it's all around us, on TV and radio, news. It just plays on your mind all the time. But what kind of mind does the Lord really wants us to have as a child of God? And looking at chapter 2, looking at verse 5, let's look at that verse right now. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of a God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And look what he says now. But made himself of no reputation, but took upon him a form of a servant. One thing he wants us to have, a servant's heart, doesn't he? He wants us to have a servant heart. And we see something else. And as a servant, he wants us to be obedient. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants us to be obedient to him. And How we're obedient? By reading God's word and obeying what he says us to do, that we'll do it. And of course, we see Jesus, is even death of the cross. We see the sacrifice that he made. And are we giving a sacrifice to him, giving ourselves to him? We are a living sacrifice, aren't we? And that's what it says in Romans 12:1. We're a living sacrifice. So he wants us to have a new mind. I like us to go a little farther. Not only we have a new mind, that's important, but he wants us to have a new hope. Turn with me to Titus. This book, Titus, has a lot of good things in it for all of us. In chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 12 and read down through verse 14. And this is what he says. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, it says, righteously and godly in this present world. This world we live in is a fallen world. It's very fallen. It's very lost. And like in the Bible, everybody is doing what's right in their own eyes. It's okay. You want to go out and shoot somebody? Man, in Montgomery, they have a shooting about every day. It seems like about every other hour almost sometimes. But have no fear of God. Why people don't fear God anymore, you know? Why do you think? They're taking God out of the school system. They're taking the Ten Commandments out of the school system. They're taking the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses, you know? So that gives them, they say, well, that don't really matter. Well, I can do what I want to do. And most of the time they do. I mean, our house has been broken in twice at our house where we live right now. But men's hearts are wicked, evil. But it says, all these, we live in this present world. We're not part of the world, but we live in the world. But this world's not our home. And then this is what he says. Looking for that blessed hope. I don't know about you, that'd make a Baptist shout, won't it? Amen. We're looking for that blessed hope, and that hope is Jesus coming for his church. The trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain, we'll be caught up to be the Lord in the air, and we'll be with Jesus all eternity. But look at what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there is a blessed hope, and there's a living hope, and there's a purifying hope. We don't have time to get to all the other two hopes, but that's what the Scripture says. And what does it do? The purifying hope, it purifies that Jesus is going to come. And are we busy about our Father's business, you know? That's what he wants us to be, busy, serving, praying for the lost, handing the gospel tract, witnessing, serving, whatever it might be. But Jesus Christ, he wants us to take a stock of our own life, where are we at with the Lord as a church, where are we at as a church, what we're doing. Are we really serious about the things of God? He wants us to be serious about the things of God. But that's the blessed hope. And I know this world's not going to get any better. We know everything's setting up for the old Antichrist to come. And his system's already here. Man, this is getting more and more closer all the time. But we don't have no signs of the trumpet of the Christ coming, is it? No signs of the rapture. The trumpet sound, and the angels say, come up here. And we're up there. And here's another one I like to give to you. We don't take too much notice of all these new things. But one of the new things, he's going to give us a new song that we never had before in our life. Turn with me to Revelation, please. In Revelation, in chapter 5, we're going to read. But notice in chapter 3, remember the church is called up. The Lord says, come up here. And immediately the church is with the Lord. Now I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about buildings. But I'm talking about those that love the Lord. We're called up to be with the Lord in the air. And after chapter 3 and 4, the church is never mentioned again here on earth. That's the rapture. That's what we call the rapture. The church is no longer here. We're in heaven. And what are we doing? We're sitting around twiddling our thumbs? No, we're up there singing and worshiping and honoring the Lord with all our being. But look at verse 9 of chapter 5. He says here, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood by thy blood, and out of every kindred and tongues and people and nation. Boy, we're going to hear singing we have never sung before. And the thing about singing with the Lord, we're all going to be on key. We don't have to worry about having flat notes or sour notes or whatever they might be. We'll all be singing on key, and it's going to be a glorious day. Being around the throne of Jesus, and I know it talks about crowns in the Bible. We're going to lay all our crowns at Jesus' feet, and we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's going to be a glorious day. We're going to sing what we've never seen before. But I like good gospel singing. I really do. And I like to hear people sing like they really mean it, you know. But there's a new song that we're going to sing. Well, I don't know what that song might be. It might be Redeem, O Redeem, or How I Love to Proclaim It, whatever it might be. But we're going to sing it like we'll be singing with all those angels up in heaven. And then the last thing I want to get to you. Here's the last thing. Turn me to Revelation. And here it is. We've done all these things. We have a new heart, and that's very important. We have a new man, and we have a new mind. We have a new hope. We have a new song. And you know what we're going to have last? A new home. This is not our home, folks. Don't get too settled down in these places what we have here. This is not our home. We're going to be a real home. And there'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. All those former things will be all done away with. And let's look at Revelation chapter 21. That should get us all excited. I tell you, it'll make you want to rejoice. But it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. There it is, a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then he says here, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Look at all the new things they get here in this chapter, Revelation chapter 21. And then it says, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One thing, the Lord has prepared a place for us. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Isn't that so? I've told you. And here it is. And I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where you are, I will be. I mean, where he is, there will be. Where I am. But anyway, we'll be with the Lord. Isn't that glorious? Man, what a day that's going to be. And then he tells you all this, what he's going to do. It says here in verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them. Man, hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we have. And be their God. And that's going to be a glorious day. Then, look what he says he's going to do for all of us. He says, and God shall wipe away, what? Away all our tears. And then it says here in God's word, and there shall be no more death. There'll be neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. Boy, what a glorious, that's the place I want to go. I don't know about y'all. That's the day I want to be there. And all the former things, all these former things on earth, is going to be done away with. We don't have to worry about all this sickness and pain and cancer and every kind of thing you can think of going on in this world that people are hurting in this land that we all live. And this way he says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold. When you look at that word, behold, he said, look, you take notice what I'm going to say now. This is important. He says, behold, I make all things new. We're going to all be made. We're not going to have the same body that we have now. We're going to have a brand new body. We have a glorified body. And it says in 1 John chapter 3, when we see Jesus, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be what? Like him. We're going to have a glorified body just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but he's in charge of it all. I'm not going to worry about that part, but he's going to do it. And he says here, I make all things new. He said unto me, he's talking to John, I will give unto him, that's the thirst, the fountain of the water of the life freely. And look at this last phrase, verse 7. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Do you know we're overcomers? We're not defeated folks, folks. We know the end of the story. We're going to be with Jesus for all eternity, rejoicing. And everybody thinking, well, I'm going to be floating on a cloud playing a harp or something like that. That's not what we're going to be doing. Maybe some will do that, but we're going to be serving, and we're going to be worshiping, and we're going to be fellowshipping. And everybody's going to have a responsibility. Heaven's a big place. I don't know if you ever got all the dimension, but it's a big place, heaven. But it's only for those that love him, that are saved and born again into the family of God. But he says here, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Boy, that'd make a Baptist stand up and shout. But all these new things he gives us, he's got a lot of new things for us. It's going to be new for all of us. But it all starts about having a new heart. It goes back there, and we got to have that new heart that he wants us to have. And it's free. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do any penance or anything like that, as far as like Martin Luther had to go all through all the rules and regulations of the Catholic Church. Just accept him by faith and receive him as your Savior. And he's our Savior. He's our God. He's our Redeemer. And he's our King. And what else could you want? Anybody got any other questions? If you got a question, we'll see if we can answer. If I can't, I'll let Barbara answer. She can answer for us. But isn't it great the Lord has provided all this for us as a child of God? And we shouldn't be going around people being doomed. We're doomed people, but we should be looking up. Because Jesus is coming soon. And as soon as we think. And I tell you, I went to a Christian college, and I had a roommate. He's from Canada, and he is so bad, his mom and dad sent him to a Bible college to try to get him straightened out. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't. And I said, if I'm not here in the morning, you know I'm going to be with Jesus. And about the middle of the night, he said, are you still there? I'll wait for a little while. I wouldn't answer for a while. He turned the light on. I'm still here. But we don't have to be, but he did finally get saved after we even graduated. And he came back to the college and went back to Bible college or for the right purpose. But he did get saved, praise God.
It all went over his head the first time.
Yeah, well, he thought it was a discipline thing. His mom and dad was trying to discipline him to get him right with God, but the Lord had to do it, not anybody else, but he did. But it's great to serve the Lord. It really is. But anyway, if y'all don't have any more questions, we'll have a word. Well, we better sing a hymn. I forgot the last hymn. We got a hymn 370.